Brothers, I am clear that all of this would look very serious to a middle class, an upper middle class American looking in on us, right. Even Christians. You people are crazy, this is insane, so on and so forth. Listen, it'll be the makings of us. For one thing, it'll start teaching us something that we Americans don't know, and that's a little strictness in our lives, and an other consciousness. It's a beginning. It's not much, but it's a beginning. But the Lord Jesus knew it was an absolute essential to get anywhere. And he drew the line there. Now then, brothers, when you move from that point to the next point, as great as you may think what we're discussing is, when you move from there to the next point, you've probably taken the greatest single step, the most gigantic step, the widest point between two distances anywhere in Christian experience. Brothers, you go from the loss of all outward things, Patty said, no ownership. You lose that. You leave that to the loss of the soul. And when you have come to the loss of the soul, the loss of outward property means. Brothers, when we speak of the loss of the entire soul, we're talking about something in regions that we can't even grasp. We're speaking of depths of comprehension we can't plumb, heights we can't see, breadths we cannot distance. The loss of the soul. The loss of the soul. But I see you all so willing to hold the pressure on the outer things. Praise God. I rejoice in that. The Lord rejoices in that. You're still willing. Your hearts are still there. But Priscilla, it's nothing compared to the beginning of the loss of the soul. And there's nothing easier to forget than the loss of the soul. You can sit at home with nothing but a floor to sit on and look in an empty living room, go to the kitchen, a bare cupboard, eat down here in the grocery store, eating grapes, one pair of pants, one pair of socks, one pair of shoes, and one shirt, one old coat. You're nowhere. All you have done, in fact, is to symbolize what God wants to do to you inside.
Amen.
And that's to reduce you to nothing. And if you think we've gotten anywhere in this, you're dreaming.
Excuse me.
Listen.
Glory to Jesus.
When you
Christ.
Get down into the internal matters, this is a different. Where are you in dealing with the Lord? I'm actually here tonight to bring you back on course, my brother. Brothers, I see a people unlike us. I see a people not like us. I see a people so utterly removed from what they are. I see meeting a brother who no matter what I talk to him about, he never refers to Adam, I, or me.
Amen.
Well, I realize that there are times when the word I, or me may have to come out. Brothers, there's a world of difference. You can feel the difference. You can smell it and you can sense it. There's a time when the I comes out. And you know it's capital R. A brother may have to say, I don't know. A brother may say, I believe so. You may have to say that to communicate. And yet, I'll tell you, brothers, if we could get rid of that, that would even help.
Praise God.
But we have moved to the internal, and that can't be done by external things. That takes internal involvement. This takes the Lord. We must, in the weeks ahead, come to a whole new, deeper experience with the Lord than this group of people have ever known. In fact, the church in Isla Vista has not experienced the Lord a great deal this summer. And I am aware of this, and it has not bothered me. That was a decision that had to be made about 3 months ago. That was a rough one, whether or not we went into an experience of living in the Lord's presence or if we went down to the graveyard and dug up the most wretched monster in the universe. We went to the graveyard.
Praise the Lord. It's
just so clear that we went to the right place.
Amen.
Amen.
That's just clear. We went to the right place. All right, so we have not known a great deal of the Lord's love in the last few weeks to motivate us to these things. This, again, just doesn't concern me. The fact that the church may not be the most keen as it has been spiritually. I'm just so clear we made the right decision. About 2.5 months ago, we started out to live in the Lord's presence for about 3 days, and it was stopped, and brothers, it was right, because we would be a people today very sensitively living in the Lord's presence with no concept whatsoever of what is hidden in the basic inner depths of our being. We were on a collision course with disaster. Now get this, and get this clear. There can be no justification for this group of people ever experiencing a split. 20 years from now, if one of the brothers who is a worker, if we are scriptural, we will have workers. If there begins to grow up tension between two brothers over some doctrinal issue or something, brothers, I don't care how gifted that man is. I don't care how right he is or how powerful he is. You be clear tonight, he is not worthy of being followed. There is something wrong if there is a cleavage between two brothers big enough to affect the Lord's house. Somebody's not dying. What scares me is that one will die and the other one won't, and that one will be a more powerful personality. I hope somebody will remember this night. There is no right, there's no grounds for a split between workers. There is no grounds for division of the church. If in fact the church splits, somebody is not dying. If there is animosity between workers, then the whole work that God has done had better stop and reconsider its right to exist, not its reason. It'll have a good reason. Its right to exist. Because somebody has stopped dying to self. Well, that's the worker. Let's get off of that. All I can say to you tonight is that if the Lord gets what he wishes out of this people, there will be some hallmarks. Hallmarks. A hallmark is the symbolic stamp of a company. It's hallmark. You recognize that company, that organization, by its symbol, its hallmark. You will not criticize a brother, no matter what he does. And there will be no exceptions to that statement. Furthermore, you'll not be put out with him. And you will not feel. Secondly, you'll not complain. You'll not complain about anything. Gene, putting us at an unfair advantage, disadvantage. What about these responsible brothers? who do things to us that are not fair. I have two things to answer that. We have spent 4 years here seeking to raise up men who don't conduct themselves that way. They don't always make it, but they try. Sisters, they make a lot of mistakes, and sometimes they do, in fact, do things unfairly. But it is not the tendency of their lives. It may become that someday. I hope not. I hope those brothers will always be harder on themselves than they ever will anyone. As far as that goes, I just trust as a rule they'll never correct anybody over anything, no matter what it is. We have sought to raise up men in this church who do not behave that way. And I trust that you will be raised up as a man who is not like that too. We are a corporate body, and sometimes it is difficult for everybody to get treated exactly the same. And if anybody gets picked on, it's first the single brothers, secondly the single sisters. And we don't care about them. It's good for them. We'll start treating them nice just as soon as they, especially the single brothers, as soon as they're no longer single. To not complain over anything. To not complain over anything. As long as we can complain, there is still so much left. But Jean, if I don't complain, there's still so much left. Yeah, but not as much. When you're complaining, brother, it's all still there. When you get to the place you can keep your mouth shut and feel exactly the same way you would if you had it open, you have come a long, long way. Brothers, when the mouth can close,
amen.
When finally the mouth can close, death is not far away. You may feel exactly the same, but if the mouth is closed, progress has been made. To complain over nothing. Oh, may God send the day when we rejoice over what we presently complain of, when we kiss the cross, when we kiss the cross and rejoice over it, when we will in fact never be offended over anything. To never be offended over anything. There's not much more that can be said at the end of a sentence like that. One word, it all comes out. The whole battle is lost. We got through 99% of the hell, and in the last 1 foot, we blew it. So we're going to begin to look a little strange. There's nothing we can do to prevent that. When we started giving up our middle-class American ways, we found out that they had bigger roots in us than we realized. There's another citadel out there, and that's our American way of talking. When I take a look at that fellow, I've shudder. I don't even know how to describe this gentleman. He's sarcastic, he's glib, he's light, and he's on all the time. Just by observing, I've been able to learn a little bit about the American people. If two Japanese or Chinese meet, they do not have to reassure one another they like one another by talking. We Americans are very sensitive to whether or not we're liked or not.
We're extremely sensitive in this area. It's part of our culture. They accepted the greatest single way we have of conveying to one another that we like one another is to talk all the time. Do you understand that? To put one another at ease. If there's silence, it means we're mad at one another. And that's just one little, bitty look at this fellow. How little we would say under the permission of Jesus Christ. I never met him personally while he was on this earth. But if I had, I am certain that if I came back to the 20th century and gave you some idea of what he was like, well, one thing I would say is there was no end to his infinite variety. And I think I would probably say he didn't talk very much. He didn't talk a great deal. Everything that he said can be typed out on about 20 pages of a typewriter that have been recorded for us. What's recorded that he said is very small. That's rather incredible. Maybe 25, I'm not sure. I've seen all the words of Jesus, and they're not very long. He didn't talk very much. And we talk all the time. Well, say amen.
Amen.
And so much of it is flippant sarcasm. That's just where our minds have been programmed to be since the day we were old enough to talk. Parents started us all. You know, we're the thing of baby talk is not an international thing. We have not been programmed to be an inner people. We are the most outward people on this earth. Italians talk a little bit more, but they have some inner appreciations. The American people have virtually none. I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on me. I want you to know we've got a long way to go, brother. That there's a quarter of a pound between the roof of your mouth and the bottom of your chin. That is, in fact, the biggest single barrier between you and Jesus Christ. And that citadel must fall. There is so much of the inner man that will go. I don't know how to even begin to describe it. The American personality. I go a little further. We already discussed this. Your disposition. Your disposition. Have you defended your disposition lately, brother? Have you? Are we still doing it?
Yeah.
Tell you the way I am. This is how I look at things. I can handle that. Let me do it. Looky here. How you like what we did here? Isn't this neat what we did? But Gene, take that away and you take away the whole reason for living.
Praise
Someone
God.
Once said the one thing that a man lives for is to be appreciated. To be appreciated. And he's correct. And this book he wrote, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Show appreciation. People want appreciation. I want to be appreciated, and so do you. Dear brother, dear sister, that's got to die. The drawing of attention to your own personality so that someone will say, gee, what an eager. The disposition itself goes. The whole man goes. I have one other note here I noted to myself, and that was, may God help us that we will not climb
up some spiritual ladder that we have not really attained. May I remind you of a little message we brought way back at the beginning of the summer. When we lie to others, we lie to ourselves, and finally we even lie to God. Do you remember that?
Yes.
When we tell others, I have not sinned, then we tell ourselves, I have not sinned, and then we tell God, I have not sinned. When you begin to live out the story of being a spiritual personage, and you begin, people begin to believe it, you begin to believe what they believe, and then you'll even begin acting that way before the Father, expecting to fool Him. Come on, have mercy on us all. Brother, don't climb my ladder. Don't climb the church's ladder. And don't build on another man's foundation. Start at the bottom with no claims on anyone else. And be what you are. And brother, you're not much. And I'm not much. And beware of the man who seems to be much. There is no such man. I'd like to say again, let us forget our history. We did not come from the bosom of Martin Luther, nor Watchman Nee. We are some sinners, Gentiles, in fact, in Isla Vista, one of the filthiest holes in the world, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Barely hanging on to salvation itself. We have nothing. We're lazy, unspiritual men and women. The only thing holding us together is the wonder of grace that stands before our eyes. There must come a radical change in the saint in Isla Vista. It is more radical than anything that I have the gift from God to explain. It will affect our mind, it will affect our voice, it will affect our tongue, it will radically alter our disposition and our personality. It will take away our very existence. Most of all, the inner citadel of our feelings will fall. We will have nothing and we will be nothing. Gene, please help us know how this can happen. Well, I'm not going to give you the whole answer tonight, but I'm going to give you step one. Don't care if you've already done this personally. I must admit to you, I'm not satisfied. A few days ago, in my room, I walked up and down very softly, very quietly, very slowly, and I was speaking out loud in the most conversational voice I have, and I brought all that I have talked to you tonight to the Lord, and I said, Lord, these things have all got to go, and I give them to you, and I give my life to you to be worked on. These things must go, and Father, when they don't go, I've got to deal radically with them in my life. That I cannot stop this war. Whether I win or lose is immaterial. Whether I'm making progress or not is immaterial. Whether or not the Lord's getting any ground is not material. The important thing is that the battle continues.
Amen.
And brother, you know, we have slowed down in the last few weeks in this battle. I so rejoiced one night when Linda Higgins got up and talks about the fact she didn't want to turn to the Lord one night when they couldn't get a door on a car open.
Bike or not.
Was it a bike? Thank you, brother. I rejoice that here in this room and in that room, we so often turn to the Lord and pray. I don't think y'all are doing that over at the store anymore. I'm not rebuking you. Or excuse me, I shouldn't say such a blanket statement. I doubt you're doing it as frequently. Now, upbraid me if I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Not as frequently. That's what I meant to say. Sisters, that store can't operate but by the grace of God.
Amen.
Or it's going to be done in the soul, which will eventually turn to the flesh.
And you can't hold Enifamag together, brothers and sisters, by your own gift and ability. You are not a lost man at Enifamag or Electro-Optical. And I am keenly aware that I face things this year at the school where I teach that I don't stand a prayer. I keep the typical attitude. I've got to die at Lockalina. You've got to die where you are. And sisters, those of you who are left at home, I want you to know, some of the housewives in the church, you feel sorry for yourself too much. You feel sorry for yourself too much. You really do, Sandy. You feel sorry for yourself too much. Please don't feel hard toward me, sister. For one thing, I don't know what to say to you sisters who sit around here all day. For one thing, what are you doing sitting around here all day? Somebody made a study of farmers' wives out in the country. And more farmers' wives have nervous breakdowns than anybody else. You wouldn't think that out in the country, would you? You know why? I live out in the country. I know why. They never see anybody. And they sit around and feel sorry for themselves all day long. Why don't you go pray with somebody? Because I got some little bitty kids. Take your children with you and learn how to cry and pray at the same time. Change diapers and pray. Sisters, you can get over this thing. You can whip it. What you need is a little imagination. You just need to know that Jesus Christ is bigger than this is. Take a new approach. Which one? I don't have the vaguest idea, but start all over again. We've tried everything. It hasn't worked. Praise the Lord. Start again, sisters. My sisters and my brothers, there has got to be a coming to the Lord more refined than any of us have known to date. I want to meet some single brothers who put me to shame, who won't meet me the way I am used to meeting my fellow Americans. I want to be put down by some single brothers who won't give in to my weaknesses. Brother, shame me. Why haven't you shamed me more? Sometimes I don't grow weary in this, but I grow lonely in this. Into a room, and there it is so obvious that we all need to turn to the Lord. Why does it have to be me who turns folks to the Lord? I'm not complaining. I do it with joy. It's fun. Why don't you turn me to the Lord? Well, now some of you do, frequently. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to jack this thing up a little bit. Why don't you turn me to the Lord? Why don't you catch me off guard, brother? Why don't you walk into the store and turn it to the Lord? Have you ever called a prayer meeting over in the store? I bet you I'm probably the only brother that's ever called a prayer meeting in the grocery store. Am I the only brother with a spirit so strong? Have you not got a spirit? At Enifamag, there is nothing like ritual. Y'all eat lunch together every day. I know you do. And it just kind of goes from sop to surf. And then it goes... Then it goes good, and then it dies. Somebody had a strong spirit and got it started. Do you know why it died? It got in a rut. There was nothing new. Where is a new strong spirit that can walk on the spot? Gee, that's exciting, Gene. Let's do that. And that's not enough. None of this is enough. There has got to be a total end to being. Then! And in the process, half dies and the other half lives. There has also got to be a total living to Jesus Christ. We have a long ways to go. Tonight is basically a negative message. Brother and sister, I ask you again to come back to the Lord and raise standards and get violent. Come up with some new things in new territories that have not been touched so far.
Youth is for getting saved in, giving your life to the Lord in, and getting married in.
It's what youth is for. Middle age is for serving the Lord, and old age is for being a testimony to his faithfulness. Praise the Lord. To the single sisters, you're really banking hard on me getting these brothers to get married. I think the single sisters have got to face a heavy thing. And that is that many of you will not, in fact, be married. Now, sister, you can struggle with that the next 20 or 30 years of your life. Or you can settle today that you will be the Lord's and give your passion and give your love to him. And single sisters, I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is dependent on you. Utterly dependent on you. Totally dependent on your example. To be an example of what the bride of Jesus Christ. The married sisters, I would say, boy, the married sisters feel so condemned sometimes about having children and having a home. You must not feel that way. We don't sit around here encouraging people to get married and for you to go get condemned over it. You have got to learn to be an outward help, not always an inward one, to your husband to go on with the Lord and not be a hindrance to him and as he leaps forward. Therein, you must be very careful. But sister, I'm more concerned about something else, and that is your tongue. Your tongue. I would say to a married sister, oh, married sister, be so careful about what you say. Your great damage to your husband is so often in what you say about others. Sometimes the Church of Christ is destroyed initially by a wife saying something to her husband. And it is interesting that in the scripture there is a pointed word said to sisters whose husbands are elders and whose husbands are servants and whose husbands are workers. You carry a triple responsibility. Sometimes the seed of Eve is planted in a dear brother's heart. He had never thought it. His wife had not planted it there. If you wish to do battle there. To end negative discussion of other saints and situations and spiritual conditions in the Lord's house. I have only walked around the outer edges of this thing. I have not at all tonight dealt with the main thing. The main thing is this. Point step one, we must go to the Lord and give him our lives to be brought to an utter death. I would ask you to bring everything that you can name to him. Everything. And ask him to bring it to an end. This is the negative. One day we will come to the positive, but we need a deep impression of the negative. Brother, I ask you to be so practical with the Lord tomorrow. Try to live out tomorrow in the sense of tonight. And be my help to do the same. I want you to know the Lord's making some progress. Not much. But we are not where we were. Generally speaking, 3 months ago. Some of us haven't moved a peg, but there's been a little worth in general among the Lord's people. Praise the Lord. A better day is coming. I have not given you all the help there is to this. The Lord didn't allow this summer to be a time to give us a lot of help. This has been primarily a pretty dry summer as far as spiritual revival. But it has been a time to get an idea of what the Lord is after. You have been reading some dear chapters on humility. Have we had time with chapter 12? Did we? It was passed out, but nothing done. May I ask you to turn that room over there into a 24-hour intercession that God bring this church to be nothing.
that we might have an example as clear as the life and testimony of Madame Guyon. And that is not, in fact, enough, that we must be the testimony of Jesus Christ, that we must be the bride's own testimony. Brother, sister, will you make this something that we bombard heaven with? Will you go to the Lord and make this a real thing of prayer? And in doing it, say to the Lord, by your Spirit within me, show me clearly the territory you're demanding in my life. And let's get back to being ruthless with ourselves and with one another, and so sensitive to our helpless condition before the Lord. And if you see me fall short of that which I speak, I beg you, let part of your prayer be, Lord, I'll not take Gene is my example. If you do that, we're all ruined. Take the Lord, not as your example, but as your footsteps. Well, we're not getting as much sleep as we usually do, but I'd like to ask that you spend that time in prayer. And may we return to the Lord tomorrow morning with chapter 12. And let us finish 1 Peter. If you're needing some verses to go through 1 Peter 1, that chapter, I ask you, brothers, to walk into that room praying, all of us. And let us come tomorrow, pray very slowly and very gently and very prayerfully over the last chapter of that book. That book has had a lot to say to us. We must get a deep impression. Amen. Brothers, I tell you, right up here, is a mind that can hardly even think in the terms that we must live in. We can hardly even articulate this. Watch our testimonies in the meeting. We hardly even know how to talk about the subject. How far we have to go. How much we need to pray. I beg you, be bold. Don't go whine and whimper. Turn those prayers to the Lord. Challenge him with his own faithfulness. Speak to a triumphant Lord, for he has triumphed. I'd like to ask that we plan to spend all day Saturday fasting. And let's not break it before 1 o'clock on Sunday. All day Saturday and at least half of Sunday. Now this is Thursday. We have Friday. We have the middle of the night. We have during our praying during the day. Let us get very specific. Father, bring every one of us individually and the church corporately to utter death, till there is no feeling, until we are limping, that you can begin to be all. If it takes a lifetime, Lord, we're committed to it. We are forever committed to this work in our lives. Change us, alter us, so that when men meet us, they will know that we live in a very confined place, that we are not privileged to wander all over with our thoughts and our words, but we live a very strict life before the Lord, a life of constantly being put to death to our own desires, whatever they are. Come to the Lord and raise a standard higher than my words can raise. Praise the Lord, Chad.